Very indeed, in a sense. So, this is the third time hearing he skipped all the numbers. Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome to our visitors today. Just so I can refresh everyone, visitor, I know we've been absent for quite a while from vacations and summer camps and all that stuff. So, it's always glad to be good to be back. And so, I'm just going to share a couple things that we started with in July. Christian had a great time attending Alethea Springs. I wanted to match up for Mountain Top. He did Mountain Top last year, learned a lot of great things. And this year he did the Alethea Springs Education Center. So he did some on summer camp, it was an education center. And he learned quite a bit of verses and grew spiritually, so we're thankful for that. As he returned, I asked him what did he learn and what did he study. And they studied, they started every day in the book of Proverbs. So there's 31 chapters, so you can read it 31 days. Chapter a day. That should be everybody's school. Book of Proverbs is about wisdom. Wisdom is very important, so I'd like to speak about that today. And we look into wisdom and look at the definition. What is wisdom? What does it mean? Well, the dictionary says it's the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment. Quality of being wise. And so as we look at God's word, and he gives us wisdom, and he gives us wisdom things. 1, chapter 1, verse 5 says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all gifts, and ungrudgingly, he will be given it. We have a direct line to God the Father, thanks to Jesus Christ, who set you through that binding wall. Now we have him as the mediator for us. It's great. So as I talk about experience, I want to share a couple things, because experience is part of having wisdom. Experience is also one of those things that the easiest example that I want to give is after you go to school or you try to start your first job or a job in your career, a lot of times you hear, you need experience. You need experience. And so that's always hard to see, okay, how do I get experience that's needed to get experience? And so, a quick story. When I first started speaking in the assemblies, this was probably at least 15 years ago. I was much younger than I am today. I know I look young, but I was much younger 15 years ago. And I was joyful in the word, and ready to share what I knew about God's work and to other believers, and I did so. But as I did so, there were some that listened and just wanted to judge. Disheartening thing, because you try to share a word and all that you know, and as you continue to grow within the word, sometimes you say something or not be clear about something, and that will happen. It was something very, very, I guess. And so there was sharing about the children of God. So if you get saved, you become the child of God. But not everybody is the child of God. There are a lot of songs, a lot of hymns out there, good hymns, the newer ones, but some of them say that we're going to save, we're going to heaven, and that's not true. It's not true. There's a difference. Either you're on the path to heaven or the path to hell. And so there are children of God, and there are children in heaven. And so I mentioned before, I was speaking about the children of God and continued on. Say, so it's kind of disappointing, but you learn and you forget, and you move on. And so, having experience, having knowledge, big things. So how do you, gain the knowledge? An easy way to do that is to know and study the Word. He says, in the beginning, he's gone. I just drew a blank. In the beginning was the Word. The Word's God. And so, how do we know the Word? We get to know Jesus. Continue on, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we saw his glory, the glory of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. And so we know that the Word is speaking of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is the Word. And so knowing is very important. It reminds me, way back in the day in college, I was having an internship going door to door, selling educational books, not encyclopedias, more volumes that kind of help parents help their kids. Because apparently there's this thing called new math. New math, we went door to door, spoke to families, and the first time we did it, it was an exchange program. So being from Kansas, I didn't speak fast enough when I moved to New York to go talk. And they just, where do you go? What do you want? That's what we do. So, didn't do the best. I started off very slow, but I learned how to talk to families, I learned how to talk to people. I wanted to share what I knew about the books that I was selling. I continued on and went down south to the blazing heat in Louisiana and Mississippi the following two summers. But I got much better. And how did I get better? I studied the books. And so, when you sell something, you have to know something before you can sell it. And the easiest way is to use your ear. You have to listen. Listen to people's needs. God gave us two ears and one mouth, so listen twice as much. And that's what I did. I listened to the families about what they needed help with. And then because I knew the books, I knew how to present to them the areas that would help them with their kids. The same thing with the Word of God. We need to know the Word of God so when that opportunity comes up to share, we can share it. Now, does that mean we have to know every single verse? I can't quote every single verse. I hope someday I will. But in the meantime, I have an idea of which one or what area it is within the Bible. And it's not bad to say, oh, that's a great question, and I definitely want to get back to you, but can I go to study first, and then I can be back with you. That's a good way to do it. So there has to be knowledge, experience, and good judgment. Become wise. And that's very important in witnessing to people. There's a lot of people that probably do it the wrong way. Everybody has their preferred methods. But I think that we can use some of the examples that Jesus did witnessing. One of them is the Samaritan woman. That's a good way to take as an example. The disciples went into town, and what did Jesus do? He stayed back with the woman at the well, and he knew her. He got to asking her questions. She was asking him questions. And obviously he's God, so he knew her before. But getting to know someone on a personal level and then bringing to their attention and leading them to Christ is probably a good way to do it. And that's what he shows us in that chapter, is how he can talk to someone on a personal level. Now, everybody's different. So it might not be the same answer for everybody, not the same speed, but that's where we have to be sowers of seed, right? We have to teach them a different time to, and you know, because that's how you get saved. You know, I was raised in a Catholic church and grew up doing mass on Sundays and Saturdays and Wednesdays and they had it, the holy days, and it gave me a background that there is Jesus is coming. But it took me a while to accept him. And that's where it begins, is the belief, having faith in him. Knowing who he is, what he did for you, and accepting it. It's a gift. A lot of people have gifts. They don't want to accept it. They want to have part of it. But I'll accept it if I can do this, or if I can do that. Something is pure accepting it. He did it. He offered himself as the ultimate sacrifice for us. Be thankful for that. This morning we got a chance to give back. And giving back comes after you get saved. You give back with praises and hymns, prayers, reading his word. And that's what we can do. But the experience also comes from learning from one another. We have elders here. The elders are supposed to help the younger men. Husbands are supposed to help the wives. The older women are supposed to help the younger women. We can see all this in Titus chapter 2, where we help each other grow within knowledge and experience. And we can use that because you need to be smart with good judgment. You know, it reminds me, we were just chatting with Riga. We were just chatting about our men's retreat down at Myrtle Beach. It reminds me of a guy that we ran into. And there was some witnessing going on with this man. He clearly was not saved. And he had been drinking since early in the morning. And this was late in the afternoon. And had not stopped. He was close to knowing some things about it because his brother was a priest, and he rejected that. He rejected Christ, and as we were sharing a few things with him, he just wanted to keep rejecting it. And he's opening to talk for himself. And I think about that situation, and because he'd been drinking all day, probably was not good judgment to talk to him while he was under such influence. But that also might have been the only time that we had the chance to do so. And so the method of how we speak to people makes a difference. So it's how do we speak to them, what do we say, where do we say it, when do we say it, and it's different. You know, our family, we like to go to some of the soccer games. Charlotte FC, it's held at the Bank of America Stadium, and a lot of times after we are leaving those events, there's someone on the street corner yelling out, "Jesus saves! You're all going to hell if you don't know Jesus." And I feel like that's probably not the best method to share who Jesus is to people with having a megaphone to your ear. Once again, it goes back to a personal, you know, when you become saved, it's a personal connection. And having that mega blasted into your ears, probably not the right method to do that. And so, and this is one of the things that I learned. There was an elder that at the last assembly up in Conover. We used to go out and we were troublemakers because we would go out together and we would go witnessing to people and we would stir up conversations. And next thing you know, they're coming up for being invited back to our Bible studies that we created. And we shared the word with them and got them thinking about questions and were able to answer those through the Bible. And a lot of people got saved. So was that something special that I did?
No.
Was it something special he did? God used us. We were able to be used because we were willing. We pray about it. We study about it. And the Holy Spirit guides us within that. And so I think about those examples. Turn with me to Luke chapter 8. I want to read a parable here. Chapter 8, and starting in verse 4. When a large crowd gathered with people from one town after another journeying to him, he spoke in a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some of the seed fell on the path and was trampled, and the birds of the sky ate it up. Some seed fell on rocky ground, and when it grew, it withered for lack of moisture. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew with it and choked it. And some seed fell on good soil, and when it grew, it produced fruit, a hundredfold. After saying this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, ought to hear." Now, I grew up in Kansas, as most of you have heard. My parents were farmers. They farmed over 3,000 acres. They always gave me the jobs that they didn't want to do. But growing up on the farm, that wasn't the most fun. But I can relate to this. You know, back in the day, there were farmers and there were fishermen, and a lot of parables relate to that. And so we have this parable here that is speaking of, skip to verse 11, is the explanation of the parable. So we see that the meaning of the parable, the seed is the word of God. So there you are, casting out seeds. Some falls down and gets stomped on, or the birds catch it up, and the birds being the devil coming in. Because we've got this world, we live in this world that is full of evil. It is. And it's good to have fellowship with believers because that helps us strengthen each other, encourage each other. And that's what we're here for, is to help each other grow and to share what we know to others as well. But verse 12 says, "Those on the path are the ones who have heard, but the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts that they may not believe and be saved." Another example is the rocky ground. So those on rocky ground are the ones who, when they hear, they receive the word with joy, but they have no root. They believe only for a time and fall away in time of trial. This is the problem. So we can see those who accept the Lord and they get joy because it's an exciting time to know that you're saved. But then maybe they have to learn more. And coach. Let's go back to Titus chapter 2. That's where we all come in to make sure that that seed that was not on the rocky ground hits the moisture that it needs to continue. Verse 14. "As for the seed that fell among the thorns, they were meant to have heard, but as they go along, they are choked by the anxieties and riches and pleasures of life, and they fail to produce mature fruit. See that a lot too. And that's just because we live in a world of people. And it's hard when you're surrounded by a lot of people who aren't safe, do evil things. You know, I think about all the people I used to hang out with before I was saved, and it's hard to break away. If you try and get saved and stay in the same situation, it's not going to happen. They're going to pull you down. Those thorns are going to pull you down. You have to have separation. And that's why it's clear between those that are saved and not saved. But it's hard to do so if you're out there by yourself. And so know that last time I spoke, salvation is where it starts. And we got our first installment from God. That was the seal of the Holy Spirit. And so we know that we can't lose our salvation. There's stumbling in it. But once our name is written in the book of life, it doesn't go away. Nothing can pull us from God's palms. And the last part, but as for the seed that fell on rich soil, they are the ones who, when they have heard the word, embrace it with generous and good hearts and bear fruit through perseverance and patience. And that's, you know, so my parents farmed a lot of land, and some of the land was good, some of it wasn't. In Kansas, it doesn't rain a lot, so you don't get a lot of rain. They grow more wheat. That takes just a little bit of rain. So unless you have land that's by the river where there's a lot of moisture and a lot of deep, rich soil, you can't grow crops like corn or soybeans that require that good soil. But if you have land that is there, then it's so much easier. And that's where we can help each other with the knowledge, sharing, and we can become the rich soil that we each need. So I hope that I'm encouraging you with this message, because it's very important to me, and I know that not everybody here is saved, and I pray that they do get saved and choose Christ as their Savior, because that's the only way. So we had last month Christian going to, he prospered and grew spiritually through that, so we're thankful for that. From that time, we went to Seattle, where I met with my family. We went on an Alaskan cruise for a week to celebrate my parents' anniversary, 45 years married. And my siblings were there, and their children were there, so there were 16 of us all together. And I'm thankful to say that the drama was minimal. There was a time period where there was some disruption. My brother-in-law has a food allergy, and he ate some fish that he wasn't supposed to eat. And he started closing up and almost passed out. But we got him to the nurse's office for EpiPen before that happened. Very quickly, and so happy to say that the drama was very minimal with that trip. As we got back, Lynn and her family, they live in Seattle, so we stayed some extra time there and had the chance to see her family as well. And I want to ask for prayers. You know, her family needs prayer. They're not saved, and they practice a religion that won't get them saved, and so continue to pray for them. We're not there, but maybe once a year we try to visit, and you know, it just reminds me of, we're thankful that we had a chance to stay with her parents, because I'm sure the hotel rooms would have been $400 or $500 a night. But I just remember staying there and eating breakfast, and there was They have a couple of parents, or a couple of pictures of her grandparents who passed away up in these worship stations. And they do their offerings to the ancestors up there. And one of them was a bottle of water given to her grandmother. And it just reminded me of the story in Luke with the rich man and Lazarus, and how the rich man went to hell and he saw Lazarus right there, and just wanted, just, you know, him to dip his tip of his finger in water and bring it to him. He was being tormented in flames so much. And it's tough. It's tough. And people go to hell. But, you know, there's times where you don't have to live with Christ, but you should die with knowing Christ. You know? That's where we're coming. But I'd like to share, I'll go ahead and wrap up, but you know, one of the things when we picked up Christian from Alethea Springs, he was wearing a new shirt, and I thought the shirt was just really cool. He bought it there, and he had a verse on it, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 16 and 17. But what the shirt said was, it abbreviated message. It said, "He's coming, I'm going." Isn't that great? So, First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 says, "For the Lord himself, with the word of command, the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, will come down from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Thus we shall always be with the Lord." Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful time we had to give back, to give you the thanks and glory that you deserve. It's always amazing to come together the first day of the week to give our thoughts and prayers. And rejoice in the fact that we have a Savior that came down from heaven, offered himself as a sacrifice to wash away our sins with his precious blood. We proclaim his death through the breaking of bread and the drinking of wine until he comes. And we know he's going to come. He's alive. On the third day, he rose again, according to the scriptures. And now he sits at your right hand. And we thank you for such a great Savior that we have full access to because he did the work that saves. And so as we continue today, I pray that the message that will be shared later is blessed and received. And we ask all this through Christ our Lord. Amen.